For KFSK News, I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for joining us. The Petersburg School District has postponed its regular school board meeting until next Tuesday, January 18th at 6 p.m. Instead, the school board will meet tonight in a work session to go over the district's current COVID mitigation plans. The work session begins at 6 p.m. in the middle and high school library. No action can be taken at the work session, just discussion. There is only invited comments and testimony, so if the public wants to make comments to the board, they should email them to the board or call board members before the meeting. To address the entire board at once, you can email exec@pcsd.us, and that email will be forwarded to all board members, including the student representative and the superintendent. Board member emails can be found through the school district's website. KFSK also has a link to them on our website, kfsk.org. Immediately following the work session, the board will recess to executive session to discuss the superintendent's contract. Superintendent Erica Klutpainter is on a three-year contract that runs through June of this year. Next Tuesday's regular school board meeting is the same time as the borough assembly meeting, so KFSK will not be airing the school board meeting. Assembly meetings are usually on Mondays, but next Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so the assembly meeting is on Tuesday. Petersburg's number of active COVID-19 cases rose early this week, and the Petersburg Medical Center says it's likely the Omicron variant that's spreading here like it is elsewhere. The community dashboard maintained by the medical center last night showed 22 active cases, with all of those from the past 7 days, and just 8 pending test results. PMC is also cautioning that new positives from take-home antigen tests are not showing up in these totals. Infections diagnosed by those take-home tests are not reported in the active case count unless they're confirmed by a more sensitive PCR test. The medical center says it assumes the Omicron variant is already in Petersburg because of its rapid spread in other parts of the state. Students and staff at Petersburg schools are among the latest totals. As of yesterday, the school district's dashboard showed 9 active cases at the district, with 2 at the elementary school, 4 in the middle school, and 3 in the high school. Another 6 are quarantining after possible exposure to the virus. Meanwhile, the state reported over 3,200 new cases yesterday, with more than half of those in Anchorage. People who test positive with a home kit are encouraged to follow up with their healthcare provider, notifying their employer, as well as staying home. Those free test kits are available at the PMC Clinic, Public Health, Rexall Drug, the Fire Department and Police Station, the Public Library, and Petersburg Indian Association. Some of those were closed yesterday because of icy roads, but plan to reopen today. Free travel testing continues at the medical center through the emergency room entrance Monday through Saturday from noon to 4. PMC says it will announce other pop-up testing clinics. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the majority of transmission happens 1 to 2 days prior to the onset of symptoms and 2 to 3 days after. COVID-19 vaccination decreases the risk of severe disease, hospitalization, and death. The CDC says and encourages everyone who's able to get vaccinated and boosted. The CDC last month revised its recommendations for isolation and quarantine. You can find a link along with this story on our website, kfsk.org, for that information. Record COVID-19 numbers are being reported as the Omicron coronavirus wave pounds onto Southeast Alaska's ragged shores.
Case counts on Prince of Wales are rising. In the past 7 days, we have had 68 confirmed cases on Prince of Wales Island. This count does not include self-reported home antigen tests.
That's a recorded message dated yesterday from Craig Public Health on Prince of Wales Island. That weekly total of 68 is roughly twice the previous record set during the Delta variant surge back in August. Health officials say they're no longer able to investigate all cases and are asking positive individuals to reach out to their own contacts. The recording notes that the Craig Public Health Office was closed yesterday because of weather and staffing shortages. Public schools in Craig are in distance learning through at least Friday of this week because of the spike. Free at-home tests are available from Craig Public Health, the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH. And Peace Health Clinics are offering free flu and COVID-19 vaccines as well. Booster doses are encouraged for anyone 12 and older. Meanwhile, in Metlakatla, tribal authorities there raised the community's COVID-19 risk level to its highest mark, level 3, on Sunday. Masks are mandatory. Businesses must abide by mitigation measures or could be closed. And the Annette Island Service Unit Clinic is only seeing urgent, emergent patients, according to a notice posted by the Metlakatla Indian community officials. At least 53 people have tested positive since January 1st, according to that notice. Those account for approximately a quarter of all cases detected in Metlakatla since the pandemic began. That count also excludes at-home tests. Metlakatla officials said roughly two dozen cases were active on Sunday. The Annette Island School District has moved classes online through the end of this week in response. COVID-19 data for Ketchikan was not reported Monday. The local public health office says it shut down due to icy weather. But over the weekend, officials with Ketchikan School District began reporting the number of COVID-19 cases associated with each school. As of Sunday, 71 staff and students had reported testing positive in the past week. Just under 30 had attended school while infectious, including 15 at Ketchikan High School. The dashboard is based on self-reported test results from parents as well as the results of in-school testing programs. Schools, businesses, and government offices across the southern panhandle were closed yesterday after a combination of snow and rain made travel difficult. Eric Stone has more from Ketchikan.
Ketchikan residents reported parked cars spontaneously sliding down hills as heavy rains turned snow into ice. O.C. Knowlton says his car slid 4 or 5 feet down his sloped driveway overnight.
I walked down to the end of the garage, and I saw my car was halfway out into Lincoln Street, almost completely blocking the road. And I thought, what on earth, you know, that there's just no way that it slid all the way down there.
He said he wasn't going into work because his office was flooded. And he wasn't the only one who woke up with his car not quite where he left it.
My husband yesterday went outside to, you know, clear some drains and noticed that his car had slid back, I don't know, like 3-4 feet.
That's Donna Boss. She lives nearby. She says the Power Wagon's parking brake didn't help.
If it's icy or rainy, I usually put on my emergency brake because I thought, like, it could possibly happen, but I didn't think it actually did happen. And then I noticed, too, my neighbor, whose driveway is even less steep than mine, his car had slid yesterday also, so it was pretty insane.
The slippery conditions came after more than 2.5 inches of rain fell on top of unusually heavy snow, Kimberly Vaughn of the National Weather Service told KRBD during a morning interview.
And unfortunately, now the hazards change from snow accumulation to just what the snow does when it reacts with the rain that we're now getting, which is to turn it to ice.
The wet weather wrought havoc all over the region. In Ketchikan, school officials canceled class on Monday due to treacherous, icy conditions on roads and school grounds. City and borough offices were also closed, and some businesses said they were closing up shop as well. State offices, including Ketchikan's public health clinic, followed suit. Roads in town were relatively clear by Monday afternoon, though some ice remained on many sidewalks and driveways. On Prince of Wales Island, the State Department of Transportation urged residents to stay home as crews worked to clear and sand roads. Standing water had been reported between Thorn Bay and Kasan, but the Department of Transportation said in a statement that crews with the organized village of Kasan had been able to clear outlets and drain the flooded roadway. Classes at the Thorn Bay School were canceled Monday. Officials in the Prince of Wales Island community of Klawak urged residents to conserve water for at least 24 hours after leaks and blockages drained much of the community's drinking water supply, but the community's school held in-person classes and the airport is ice-free and operational. Roads in Klawak and the nearby community of Craig were in pretty good shape, according to state transportation officials, and classes in Craig are virtual this week because of an uptick in coronavirus cases. Metlakatla's Walden Point Road, which connects the town with the community's ferry terminal, was closed Monday morning, according to local police. It reopened later that afternoon. A Monday morning ferry run to Ketchikan was canceled. Annette Island School District classes are also in distance learning this week because of COVID-19. Relief from the icy mess is in store for Ketchikan and the Southern Panhandle, says the Weather Service's Kimberly Vaughn.
You're seeing high temperatures during the day getting into the 40s. So that should help with that melting of the snow and ice over this next week, because we have no temperatures below freezing forecasted for the next week.
In the meantime, it's a good idea to wear some ice cleats when venturing outdoors. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
Nonprofits in Petersburg are looking for ways to address Petersburg's child care needs. The group is hosting a community roundtable discussion this coming weekend to come up with possible solutions. Here's more on that. Child care is a challenge in many communities in America, and Petersburg is no different. When it's not available, parents must stay home from work, and that has a trickle-down effect throughout the town. But Petersburg is looking into solving some of the issues.
One is staff turnover, hours of operation.
Becky Turland is the community wellness specialist with the Petersburg Medical Center, which is a partner in the SHARE Coalition, the organization leading the effort. Turland says Petersburg's childcare problems really came to light during the pandemic.
During COVID, with the daycare shutting down, some of them shutting down, it really affected multiple agencies in our community, multiple big agencies, such as the school itself with all the school employees that have children, the borough, and of course the hospital.
PMC's CEO Phil Hofstetter says childcare is an issue that affects hospitals all over the country.
Even before COVID, this has been an enormous challenge within many, many healthcare systems.
Over the past year, the SHARE Coalition sent out surveys to community members and local childcare providers. They'll be revealing the results at a community cafe this Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. inside the high school library. Turland says they plan to talk about what the issues are and then bring some solutions to the borough assembly.
We have a nice presentation together, hoping everybody can join in that has any sort of interest in child care. If you have children that go to child care, you work in the industry, you own an industry or run an industry, having them there will be very important for this meeting.
Turland didn't want to reveal the survey results before the community cafe, but she says the coalition asked child care providers and families to explain their experiences and challenges.
We did ask, financial questions of how are you getting financial? Are you able to meet your bills? Are you able to pay your staff? What kind of benefits are you able to give them? Just to try to see what our community is able to offer, and hopefully we can get some solutions to make it better and keep it running.
There will be free childcare for parents and guardians participating in the community cafe. It will be provided in the community gym for those who need it. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning. A Fort Wainwright-based soldier was recently found dead at his home. A U.S. Army Alaska release says 40-year-old 1st Striker Brigade Combat Team Master Sergeant Wesley Woods was declared dead at his off-post residence on December 30th. It says the cause of Woods' death is under investigation by the Alaska State Troopers and the Army's Criminal Investigation Division. Woods was from Mississippi and joined the Army in 2001. He served two overseas combat tours and was the recipient of numerous medals. His most recent assignment to Fort Wainwright began in June of 2018. Woods is one of 13 Fort Wainwright soldiers who died in 2021. Six of those deaths have been ruled suicides as of just mid-December. For KFSK News, I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.